Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. Good to be here tonight. Good to have a Bible that I can believe in. And I'm going to ask you tonight, do you believe it? Say amen. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2, so go ahead and turn there. You turn in your Bible. Jim, let me see this, Jim. Jim's got this little bitty, what year did you say this was? 1947, okay. Got this little bitty print, okay. You'll get there one of these days, okay. I mean, I'm not wishing it on you, but. And how old are you now?
41.
When I was 41, I could see it just fine, too, okay. Anyway, I've got my large print King James Bible up here. Titus chapter 2, we're going to talk about the blessed hope. Amen. Looking forward to it. Lift up your heads, people. But anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm very glad for you to be here tonight. And it's good to be in God's house. It's good to study His Word. And I'm just really, I'm enjoying my study of God's Word. And it's been a blessing to me. And again, that's one of those things, God will just force you into it. He's gonna make you pray, okay? He's going to make you cry out unto Him. That's what He's going to do. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to bless us and ask God to teach us and ask God to just give your request over to the Lord tonight. He knows what's on your heart, and it's okay to ask. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, it's your goodness that has allowed us to be here tonight. Lord, Father, you're very good to us, and you're very wise. You're full of mercy, God, and full of truth, and we thank you for that. Thank you, dear God, for this Bible that we have, Lord, that the things that we have handled, the Word of Life, it is in our hands, Lord. As a guy called me today, and he said, Pastor Mike, he said, this is wanted you to know. He said that I have all things in my hand. And Lord, I knew what he was talking about. He was holding his Bible. And Lord, Father, just bless all of these, dear God, that have called or written or, Lord, that are watching tonight. Lord, Father, we just want our church to be a blessing to some people. Lord, we want to be a blessing to your kingdom. And Lord, Father, such as we are, we just ask God, Lord, that you would take what little, dear God, that we do. Lord, Father, you would magnify it as only you can. Father, we pray for Adeline tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would give her grace and give her healing in her body. Bless the doctors and nurses, and please give them wisdom, dear God, and show them what to do. But, Father, Lord, we lay her life, her body, and everything about her, Lord, into your hands, and we trust you. Father, we just ask, God, that you'd bless this service tonight. Bless these people, Lord, that are here. Lord, Father, the things that they've brought in on their heart tonight, I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would hear their prayer. Lord, Father, you'd forgive their sins. Lord, God, you'd have mercy on them, that you'd give them grace. Lord, Father, you'd teach them, dear God, of better things to come than what we have here. Lord, Father, make us more spiritual. Make us more Bible-oriented. Make us more prayerful. But Lord, Father, make us yearn and groan, dear God, for the world to come. Lord, bless your kingdom, bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We are going to talk about the blessed hope a little bit tonight. And just walk through some scriptures here in a little bit different fashion. When I say blessed hope, I'll tell you what I think this means. And I believe that the Bible bears this out. What I'm looking forward to one of these days is the redemption of my body. What I'm looking forward to one of these days is if I do not die before the Lord's appearing, then what's going to happen scripturally, according to the Bible, is that the last trump shall sound. That's 1 Corinthians 15, okay? The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Amen. First. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. You know what? Let's just explore this very quickly and go to these places in the Bible. First of all, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want and have always wanted, since God started me in this ministry, to know what the Bible says about something rather than what I heard men say. And men can be wrong. I can be wrong, have been wrong, will be wrong again. But the Bible is never wrong. And I really strongly encourage you. And I think we're starting to pick up on it. I think that as a church, I think as people, I think people that are watching our ministry are learning how to talk the way God talks and to say the things that God says. And when you say the things that God says, you're not a liar. Amen? Unless then you say something that God said and then say, now, a better way of saying this is this. Then you're a liar. Because there is no better way to say it. Amen? I was with a young man one time. He was in Bible college, and he was really, really, Bradley, he was just really up on philosophy, Christian philosophy, and deep thinking like that. And he had it in his mind. He wanted to go and go to a little country church and reform those people to be deep philosophical thinkers. And we're talking about farmers and, you know, people like that. He just, you know, I'm not saying anything against farmers. I don't think they're dumb at all. Amen. It's just that I think he was targeting the wrong crowd for this. But he really struggled. He really struggled with the idea that the Bible alone is sufficient to teach people. He felt like he had to really give them some big, deep thing. And that's how he was going to build a church. I hope that God has rescued him from that. Amen? I hope that God has rescued him from that. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm just learning to say things the way the Bible says. And so, in verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God is not interested in your flesh. Somebody say amen. It doesn't please him. You cannot please God in the flesh. Your flesh is contrary to the law of God. Your flesh is contradictory to the kingdom of God. And God is not allowing flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. Because you cannot be a partaker of God's kingdom in your flesh body. The dominionists, those who espouse it, what's called a dominion theory. That is that all of us Christians working together are going to take over the world, including politically. And I will say that there are groups inside of Christianity that are dominionists that believe that if they can take over the country for right-wing political causes, they're going to bring in the kingdom of God. They're very dangerous people, by the way. And I will say this, that Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And Mormons have their own idea of dominion theology because Mormons actually believe that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back to the United States of America, specifically Independence, Missouri. And there is a Mormon ideology that says if we get the right guy in the White House, he's going to restore the country back to the right, okay? And it'll be a Mormon guy, and he'll take the country over, and that way Jesus will come back. And have I got it right so far? Okay? Mitt Romney is that Mormon guy. Okay? So I don't care what he says when he's running for president. I want to know who he is. Amen? Amen. It's all politics, people. Anyway, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And I just love every time the Bible uses the word mystery, it's going to tell you what it is. Amen? Because I don't like for people to keep secrets. Okay? I see two people talking, and I know they're talking about me, and I want to know what they said. Okay? But I like mysteries. I like to uncover mysteries. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep is a Bible word for what? Death. The Bible actually says they shall sleep the sleep of death. So the Bible is defining the Bible. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So if you have plans on getting right with God, I would do it before and not try to do it during. Amen? If you've got plans on getting right with God, and you say, you know what? I know Jesus is coming back. I know that, I know at some point I'm going to have to face God, but I'm waiting until I'm done sinning and I got all the sin out of my system. That may take a lifetime. Okay? But I'll get right before it happens. Well, if it happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, blink, and everybody's gone. I wouldn't wait that long if I were you. Somebody say amen. So anyway, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and so if you're looking for a prophetic time frame, okay, people ask me, when do you think the rapture is going to happen? I'll say at the last trump, because that's what it says right here. Amen. And for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, turn there. And by the way, wouldn't you like to be changed? Amen. How many of you need some changing? Somebody say amen. You don't like your ways. You don't like the life that you live sometimes, and you need a change. Well, God's going to change you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the biblical doctrine now. And I've had people write me saying, you don't teach the rapture right. How come you don't teach blah, blah, blah rapture? And then I'll have people from the other side saying, you're wrong. You need to teach it blah, blah, blah rapture. Well, I'm just going to teach this because I don't like being wrong. Okay? So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Do you believe that? Say amen. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. There it is. There's a match right there. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 match up. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like verse 18, says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm going to tell you something. When it gets real bad, God's fixing to get real good. Amen? There'll be comfort in that. And I don't know about you, but I've had these days. I've had these days where I was saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I was looking up into the heaven going, God, it would be okay with me if you would appear in the clouds today and the trumpets would sound. That would be okay with me. Have you ever had those days? Say amen. And so that is something that as Bible-believing Christians, we look forward to. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of Jesus. I'm doing an online Bible study in the book of Revelation. I'm in Revelation chapter 6, and Jesus opens the sixth seal. And you have massive amounts of people running into caves and dens, and they're wanting the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of his judgment that's coming. They're afraid of Jesus appearing. I'm not. I'm not afraid. Okay? And so I like this kind of teaching. It's okay for us to talk about this every now and then because Titus refers to that as our blessed hope. It is something that we can and should look forward to. How many of you, would it be okay if Jesus appeared in the clouds tonight before it started snowing? We'll get some of you to be a little spiritual here in a little bit. Amen. So anyway, and by the way, not only do we have the doctrine of this catching up or the translation, but we also have the typology. Two people in the Bible. Who did it? Brady and Bradley. By the way, I was supposed to tell you guys something today. I got a call from a fella up in Washington State, and he said, I'm a twin. Me and my brother lived together. They were older gentlemen. And he said, we've just kind of got on in years. He said, we can't do a whole lot. And he said, I just love those two twin brothers that you got in your church. And he said, you tell them I'm praying for them every day. Amen. Amen. Two examples. Enoch and Elijah. The other one. Okay. His first cousin. I don't know. Anyway, but we have Enoch, who walked with God and was not, for God took him. And Hebrews chapter 11 says that he was translated. That means he was changed. He went from here to there and he did not see death. Enoch is the other one. Enoch was going to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And Elisha was there to witness it. 50 of the sons of the prophets were there to witness it. In fact, they knew that it was going to happen that day before it happened. And sure enough, Elijah stepped up into that chariot. He went up into heaven by a whirlwind. And he went from this earth to that heaven without seeing death. So not only do I have two scriptural witnesses, I have two typological witnesses that tell me that I think God's got a plan. And I think those who have already died, they get to go first. They've had to wait longer than you and I. Amen? But sure enough, if you and I are alive and remain at that day, we will leave this world and go to heaven without dying, and we will be changed. Somebody say amen. Now, Titus chapter 2. Turn there. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11. We talked about... Let me look at verse 1 of chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This, my friend, is sound doctrine. It is sound doctrine. It's I like that phrase, sound doctrine. That puts me in the mind of going into a market or a store, and you do what my wife does with watermelons. She'll pick them up. And she'll thump them rascals. There's a feeling and a sound that we get out of a good ripe melon. And you have to know it. Amen? You got to know the feeling, you know the sound. And you thump that thing. And when it sounds right and it feels right, you've got you a good melon. But if it don't sound right and it don't feel right, put it back. Let somebody else, let some fool get it. Amen? But you're not buying it. Okay? Sound doctrine is doctrine that has been tested. It is doctrine that is firm. We use that word sound to describe, let's say, the floor that I'm on right now. I believe is sound, and I believe it'll stand up. It'll hold me up. Okay, I'm getting to where I test chairs. Amen, Jim. Okay, we test chairs, and if that chair's not sound, or it makes too many of them as I'm easing down on it, I'm not sitting in that chair, amen? I got my muscles cocked and ready to go. I'm going to stand back up if it ain't working right. But anyway, sound doctrine. This is sound doctrine. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Say amen. Yeah. The grace of God brings salvation. Not the works of righteousness, not the deeds of the law, not anything else, not paying money, not lighting candles, not sprinkling water, none of that stuff. None of that brings salvation. It is the grace of God alone that brings salvation. And it has appeared unto all men. You say, I don't believe that. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I got a lot more to say than just this. Romans chapter 1. I just believe the Bible. Amen. I may not be able to understand it, but I believe the Bible. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. By the way, that kind of puts up that idea that Jesus, when Jesus died, he's just saved everybody. He didn't save everybody. He died for everybody, and everybody can get saved. You got to believe. You cannot call God a liar, worship another God's altar, and go to heaven. Amen? Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's see here. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You know what the Godhead is? Father, Word, Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There will be nobody who would be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. I don't understand that. I'm just telling you, here it says they're without excuse because it can be known. And here it says that the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And by the way, if we believe that people who never heard, that they'll go to heaven without hearing, why are we trying to tell everybody? Why don't we just keep our mouths shut about what we have and not reveal it to the world? Why did we go to Kenya? Why are our missionaries going to far more dangerous places than that, risking their life to preach the gospel? Why? Because they need to hear. Okay? But anyway, verse 12. The grace of God also that brings salvation, the grace of God will teach us. Number one, to deny ungodliness. Deny ungodliness. Television show pops up on the screen. It's got ungodliness in it. I think they ought to put a denied button on your remote. Deny. Amen. Ain't watching that one. Okay. Music comes on the radio. They ought to put a deny button on the radio. Flip. Okay. Denied. Not listening to that. Not going to listen to that music. Not going to watch that TV. Not going to read that magazine. I'm not going to hang around these people. I'm denying those people the pleasure of my presence. Amen. Because if they're going to be ungodly, I'm not going to hang around them. Young people, listen to that. Learn from that. I made mistakes 13, 14 years old of trying to hang around a couple guys in our neighborhood that were ungodly. And I made mistakes. And I can tell you, don't hang around ungodly people. Let me have some adults say amen. Amen. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live, number one, soberly. That means not drunk, physically, spiritually, righteously. We do not have our own righteousness, but now that the righteousness of Christ has been put on us, that should incite us to want to be righteous. Amen? There's a difference in me, okay? There's a difference in me depending on what clothes I have on. If I've got an on old pair of jeans, old pair of shoes, old t-shirt or whatever, I don't mind getting dirty. Amen? It doesn't bother me to get dirty. I'll go out and do whatever needs to be done. I'll do this and do that. It doesn't bother me to get dirty. One of the first things I had to get over, Sterling, when I went to work and learned how to paint, was I had to get over getting dirty. Especially when Steve had the sprayer in his hand. He went right up my backside. And at one point, he was feeling a little jovial or whatever, and he stuck that sprayer down in my back pocket, which filled my back pocket full of white, Glidden's antique white paint. So I would come home with pain in my hair, pain up in my sinuses. Lisa didn't like that part. Okay? Paint everywhere. I didn't mind because I had paint clothes on. I didn't mind getting dirty. But when I see how I'm dressed today, I got my casual slacks on, I got my nice shirt on, okay? I wasn't looking to do any construction jobs around the church today. I wasn't looking to change the oil in the van. I wasn't looking to mow the grass or anything like that. I just when I get cleaned up like this, I want to stay that way. And it's that way when we wear our clothes or our coverings of unrighteousness, we don't mind getting more dirty. But when Christ clothes us in His righteousness, something about us ought to change. And we just say, you know what? This looks really nice and clean and white. And there are some things that I know that if I get around, it'll spot this. And I don't want that. Can I hear you say amen? That's a good way of looking at that. We should live soberly and righteously and godly. Say the things that God says. Think the way that God thinks and do what God does. Amen? In this present world. And right here. Right here. We know that it's going to happen up there. But He's saying right here, this is how we ought to be. Now, verse 13. Here we go. I love it. And so the grace of God brings us salvation. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then the grace of God will cause us to look for that blessed hope, and glory, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, I would be real interested to hear how the New World Translation translates the latter half of verse 13, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know what I'm getting at? Because it just looks like to me that Jesus Christ is the great God and our Savior. Somebody say amen. Brady, amen. I need to know you're transformed. Amen. Amen. You ain't still got your New World Translation, do you? At home? Okay. Buried somewhere? I bet they've messed that. Who can Google that? Can you? Google that. Titus 2:13, okay, in the New World Translation. I'd just be real interested to see how they've missed that. I guarantee they didn't miss that one. They didn't miss too many of them. Okay? They went through this Bible. And by the way, did you know that before they came out with the New World Translation, they had King James Bibles, and they gave people things, they were handouts, that people could take, and they had whole, the handout had verses that they were to take their King James Bible and mark out, saying it didn't belong there. Okay? So anyway, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to just go through some verses here very quickly about the appearing of Jesus Christ. Right now, it can't be seen. Amen. The only visible way that we can see Jesus is to look inside these books right here. And I don't mean these children's editions with the pictures of Jesus. I'm talking about looking here, and that's the way we can see Jesus right now. But one of these, and we see it through a glass darkly. We see it through a glass dark. We don't, that's why, let's say, between me and whoever else is in this room, whoever else watching, we'll be reading out the same Bible, and we may just say, well, you know, I don't quite see it that way. That's because we have faulty minds, we're corrupt, this, that, and the other. We're trying to understand the Scripture, but we just can't. I need like a 30-terabyte hard drive in my brain to be able to just hold and store and retrieve instantly everything that I ever learn about the Bible. Okay? That's one of our problems, is that we just don't know it all yet. But one of these days, He is going to appear, and we are going to know who He is. Amen? And then the Bible says we shall know even as we are known. And God knows us pretty well, doesn't He? He counts the very hairs on our head. And I just, one of these, I think that starts with the neck and goes all the way. All these hairs too. Amen? He knows all of them. And Megan, you've got them too. They're just not as big and burly. Amen. Hey, whoa! That's a guy that needs to go out and shovel snow tonight. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Alicia, are you still digging there? You got it? What saith the New World Translation, Titus chapter 2, verse 13?
While we wait for the happy hope and glorious manifestation of the great God and of the Savior of us, Christ Jesus.
I bet there's a comma there.
The is in parentheses.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. It's two different. They're trying to separate the two. Okay. I knew they do it somehow, some way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Look at there. When Christ, oh, I love this. When Christ, who is our life. Can I say something to you? They are going to make fun of you because your life is Christ. Don't you do anything else but go to church? No? Was that, did she ask you that?
No, her mother made a comment.
Okay. Don't you do anything but go to church? Is that all you do is read your Bible? Is that all you got to talk about is your church and your Bible and all this? Is that all you can do? Is that all you watch is that stupid Mike Hoggard on the internet? Is that all you do is sit around and watch that guy? That's not healthy, you know. Listen. When you're saved, Christ is your life. It's not some secondary thing that you drag along behind you every now and then. When you're saved and you're right with God, Christ is your life. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ, to die is gain. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So that's it right there. The glorious appearing is, and our blessed hope, is Christ appearing and us appearing with him in the clouds. Amen. Instead of you being on the side of the parade, waving at all the floats, you're on the float, waving at everybody else. Amen? I like that. But Christ is our life, and when he shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hurry up, I got a lot more to go here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. The Bible says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By the way, he appeared once. Amen? And when he appeared the first time, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I have this little theory that I'm trying to work through scripturally. And my theory goes like this. I kind of think that just like in the Garden of Eden, and just like with the Jews and Jesus and Barabbas, I think the world is going to get a choice here. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But right here, it says, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, there will be a contrast between the one who appears without sin and the one who is the man of sin. How many of you see that? Stark contrast. The one who's coming down from above versus the one who has come up from the deep. Contrast. Opposite. One is not the other. Amen? One is named Jesus. The other one is named Jesus. It's another Jesus. Antichrist. And those who look for this one are going to know. Are going to know. Okay? So let's, I can tell you the first 20 times I saw Brady and Bradley. First time I pulled up to their house, they both come, they was outside, I pulled up in the car, I was going to give them some videos, and I'm going, man, you guys look a lot alike. That was when they was 16. Okay? Age takes its toll, doesn't it? Okay? Now you tell them apart. But anyway, I'm going, man, I don't know. And I would go to McDonald's, and they would both, I knew one of them, they both worked at McDonald's, and they'd walk up to me, hey, and I'd go, hey, Brady, looking at their name tag, how are you? Okay, I had to figure out which one I was talking to, okay, huh? That's, yeah, okay. And so anyway, but I got it, okay, I got it, I know who they are, okay, I spot the difference. You know what that is? That's experience. And I want to really and strongly encourage you, get experienced on learning the difference, or you'll mess up. Okay? You'll mess up. Let's see here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Hurry. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. This is about the appearing, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what I get out of this verse? I think our faith is going to be tried. I think our faith, and you know what? If our faith isn't tried, and that I like the phrase, the trial of your faith. You will be on trial. You will be on trial at his appearing. And that's okay with me. That is okay with me. And I'm going to tell you something. Judgment must begin where? At the house of God. God is not going to turn loose on this ungodly world until he deals with his church first. Trial of your faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Turn there. And when the chief shepherd, I love it, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen? Bradley, can they take away your position there at the county? Can they take that away from you? Yeah? Okay. Michael, can they take away your position up here at Convergys? Can they say, you know what, we don't want you in this job anymore. We're going to boot you down a little bit. Can they do that? Okay. I could lose this job here. But this crown that we get when he shall appear, it fades not away. Somebody say amen. Can't take it away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Turn there, hurry, very quickly. This is the appearing, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Have you ever run this little scenario through your mind of what if you were doing something wrong when Jesus showed up? Amen. You might ought to say, I would not want to be caught dead, nor would I want to be caught in a rapture in this situation. Can I hear you say amen? Not ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Here it is, back to this white robe again, this white garment that God has, that Christ has given us, his righteousness. And we are in this white garment and we are not interested in getting dirty. My dad told me a funny story back in his youth. When he was about 19, 20 years old, somewhere around in there, a buddy of his was getting married. And dad was one of the groomsmen. Another friend of theirs from high school was another one of the groomsmen. And they said after the wedding, and they were having the little dinner or get-together or whatever it was, this back probably 1959, 60, somewhere around in there, they took this friend of theirs that had just got married, white tuxedo, white suit. They took him out of town somewhere. They said, man, we got something to give you in a wedding present, you know. They took him and they manhandled him and they tied him to a creosote pole. Telephone pole with all that creosote. You know what that is, don't you? That coating that they have on there. Tied him in that white suit to that pole. And that man cursed and he yelled obscenities and he said, I'll kill you. You better let me go. I'll kill you. Well, they said, well, I said, Dad, did you ever let him go? He said, no, he done told us what he'd do if we let him go. So we left him there on the man's wedding day. I can understand that. Amen. Not just the wedding day, but the white suit that probably was not his. Okay. We just don't want to get dirty no more. Somebody say amen. Let me read this one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You can turn there very quickly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I want to tell you what. You just wrap that around your heart on someday when you ain't feeling all that right. You are called. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. God. You know what that term is applied to in the Old Testament? Angels. Amen? Angels. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet, there's that word, appear, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I like this already. Somebody say amen. And then, now back in Titus, very quickly, let me say this, okay? The Bible talks about the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. How much is all? And purify unto himself. You see, he purifies the believer. The believer does not purify themselves. He purifies the believer, the willing in heart, by the way. Jesus does not go against your will. Purified unto himself, but the Bible, where's my verse here? The Bible says he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, I read that and I got to thinking of this verse here. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Jesus said, and when these things, in fact, turn back to Luke. I'm just going to see if the Lord's going to let me do what I had thought about doing. Luke chapter 21. I had thought about tonight coming out here and teaching on Luke 21. And if you want to do this in your Bible, here in Luke 21, take a little pen and write Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Okay? There are parallels to Luke 21. Okay? And the way the Bible is crafted is just so ingenious. God's going to make you search the Scriptures. You will not get your entire doctrine from one chapter of the Bible. He's going to split it up and make you look for it. That's good. Amen? Because God just knows how lazy we are. We read one chapter. Yep, got it. You ain't got it all yet. Amen. Keep reading. Okay? So Luke 21 will give you some of the details. Mark 13 will give you some of the details. Matthew 24 will give you some of the... That's why when you look at four Gospels and you see the inscription over the cross, and one of them says, this is the King of the Jews. Another one says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is Jesus. All four of them say something a little bit different, but all four of them say that he was the King of the Jews. You know what you do? You just take all four of them and put them together, and that's what you have over the cross. Whatever all four of them say, that's what was written over the cross. That's what I believe. There are no contradictions in the Scripture. There's not. Well, poor Luke. Some scribe left out something that Luke had intended for it to be there. I don't believe that, Brady. I don't either. Okay? And so anyway, I wanted to kind of do a study of Matthew 24, Luke 21. I don't know. I may next Wednesday. I don't know. We'll see if the Lord allows. It doesn't hurt us. It doesn't hurt us to look at what the Bible says concerning this present world. This present world. Okay? North Korea, Russia, China, Iran. These are dangerous countries. Dangerous people with nuclear bombs that don't like Israel and they don't like us. It wouldn't hurt us to go see, get some wisdom from the Scriptures. Are there false Christs running around everywhere? Wouldn't hurt us to go study these things. So I may do that. We'll pray about it, all right? But Luke chapter 21. Look at here. This is in verse 10, it says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You ever heard that one before? Okay, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. I want you to look at verse 17, and you should be hated of all men for my name's sake. We've read that tonight. Okay, this the world. If God calls you the sons of God, this is why the world can't figure you out. They don't know why all you do is go to church. They don't know why that all you do is read the Bible, and they'll hate you. The laws that are being passed and crafted in this nation are not anti-religious laws. They're anti-Bible Christian laws. Okay? Verse 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Amen? And so, where am I supposed to be yet? Let's move on here. There's all kinds of things here, but I want to get down to verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after it. See, that men's hearts failing them for fear, you just go read Revelation 6 and when the sixth seal is open. And they know that the wrath of Almighty God is about ready to pour out, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. That's what I'm looking for, amen? Behold, he cometh in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things, listen to this now, when these things begin to come to pass, I believe the exact language of the Bible, when they begin to come to pass, then do what? Look up. Now, the Muslims are looking down because their Messiah, the Imam Mahdi, and this, Jim, I didn't know this. For a long time, I didn't know this. And when I saw this, I went, Ahmadinejad right now. the guy who's running around building the nuclear bombs right now, and I believe, I really believe that it was Israeli spies that blew that car up yesterday, or was it today or yesterday? Did anybody hear about that? They had nuclear physicists inside of a car in Iran, and somebody pulled up in a motorcycle, put a bomb on that car, and drove off. Boom! Okay? Israel does not want Iran to build a nuclear bomb. Because who is Iran going to go after first? That's because Ahmadinejad, the guy who runs Iran, is looking. He's called a 12er. He's looking for the 12th Imam Mahdi. He's looking for a great Islamic leader who lived at one time. And according to Islamic scripture or whatever, he's down in a well, in a pit. See, I know who that is now. And when I saw that, I'm going, I know who that is. Their Messiah is coming from underneath. He's going to rise up. That's where the beast is coming from. So I know who their Messiah is. Okay? Muslims are looking down for their Savior. I'm looking up. Amen. And see, it just makes sense this way. Because we even use these words. When we see someone whose countenance has fallen, we say, why are you so down today? We can see it in their eyes. When someone is depressed, when they're ashamed, when they're upset, they don't go. Even the lips and the eyes tell the story. The lips are up when things are okay. Amen? And when they're not. You may have seen it in my face on certain days. I've seen it in Lisa's. I've seen it in people's faces. They're down. And we're down. See, even our body language is telling the gospel. Amen? So he said, when these things begin to come to pass, he didn't say look down. He said look up and do what? For your redemption draweth nigh. What is that redemption? Romans chapter 8 verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Travailing is a birthing term. The woman's about ready to give birth. In pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. God shows up today and says, Mike, I got a brand new body for you. No more pain, no more sin, no more whatever. No more sicknesses, no more ailments, no more down days, no more worrying about anything. I got a brand new one for you. It will live forever. Amen. I'll take it. I'll take it. Amen? Amen. I'll trade it in. I will gladly trade it in. Okay? To wit, the adoption is the redemption of our body. For we are saved by what? Hope is what that says. The blessed hope is coming. But hope that is seen is not hope. Jesus does not show up every day at 8:30 and appear in the clouds. We have not seen him do that yet. And hope is not seen. I cannot see the end of what's going on with our granddaughter. As in times past with other situations, I could not see the end of what was going to happen. But I can tell you now that I look back on 45 years of life and every vile and terrible and disheartening thing that I have gone through, I could not see the end of it. But now that I'm here, I look back and I see that God has been good every single time. God has never failed me one time, and God has always instilled in me a little hope in telling me, Mike, just trust me, just trust me, just go one more day, Mike, one more day, watch and see what I'll do. Isn't that at the essence of what we are as Christians and what we believe? It's at the heart and the core of the faith that we're trying to give to everybody else. And if we have no hope, let's quit giving DVDs out. Let's quit cut off the transmission line. I'm closing my Bible. I'm going to go out and eat, drink, and be merry like everybody else is doing. If we have no hope. But I have hope. I cannot see the end. But I have hope. And it was that hope. And you weren't there. When I stood on that hillside, Marcus Hill Cemetery, there on that in Arkansas, next to my daddy's casket, and I talked about how, you know, we're going to plant a seed and this, that, and the other, and Robert asked me, Mike, because I've helped Robert before with you know, funerals and bodies and things like that. I've helped him pick up people out of their house. And he said, Mike, he was just asking me as courtesy, do you want to help me close the casket? And I turned around and I walked away and I said, no, can't do it. And I walked up the hill a little ways, Jim, and I was looking at, because that's the family cemetery. And you know me, family's big with me. I like family. I don't care if we are hog guards. Amen. I'm proud of it. Amen. I carry it well, okay? And I'm just looking around. There's my great-grandma, Lorinda Hoggard, buried next to her husband, Jesse Hoggard. And there's my grandpa, Jesse Doyne Hoggard, my dad's dad, and Meemaw buried next to him. And I'm looking at this family line of people that I loved, people that I met, people that my people, where I came from. And I don't know, God did something in me. And I walked back that down hill, and I said, Robert, let's do this. And I helped fold those little things there on the side of that casket. And I folded them over my dad. And I watched my mom lay over that casket. And she hugged him and she kissed him. And she said, I'll see you on the other side. And she walked off and we closed that casket lid on my dad. You see, if I didn't have no hope, I couldn't do that. But I'll gladly do that. Because I got something to look forward to. Blessed hope, the glorious appearing. Hope that is seen is not hope. Let me finish this out. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'll wait. Amen. And I'm the guy that gets mad when the download speeds here at the church are not sufficient. And the upload speed, you know, when we finish something like this tonight, we got to upload it. And I want it to go from here to the cloud, just like that. And we've paid a little extra money to get it there faster. It's not fast enough. You know, that's how we are, amen? The faster we get, the faster we want to be. Okay? Amen. Okay? I'm on a plane one time, and the pilot said, now, we're kind of running a little late here. We're up, you know, 35,000 feet, kind of up a little. We're running a little late here. So what we're going to do is we're going to kick it up a notch and speed up and try to get there on time. And I'm going, well, if you could have sped up, how come you haven't been doing it already? Why did we get there early? What's wrong with that? Amen? Speed her up. But you know what? It's better if we wait for it. Because it's just one more day that I want it more. And I want it more, and want it more, and want it more. Amen? So I miss my meemaw and peepaw. I miss my mom's mom. She died a few years ago, and I miss my dad. And every day that goes by, I'll miss them. Miss Waymire sits back there, and she misses James. Miss Bernice sits back there, and she misses her husband. Her husband died years ago. Can't wait to see him. Amen. There's an old song that says, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Okay. Ooh. Okay. All right. This a family out in California, similar situation to Adeline. And the little baby's name is Isabella. And so let's pray. There may not be anybody in the world praying for this little baby. Okay? So pray for her, pray for ours. And looking forward to the glorious appearing. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, you just blessed me tonight with your word. Your word's so powerful and your word's so good. I don't know why anybody would want to change it. God, I like it the way it is. And Lord, I have hope. And it's not a wish. It's hope that I have. Because I believe, God, you'll do what you said. I believe that. And Lord, help us not be double-minded. Help us not waver. Father, Lord, just anchor us and tie us on, dear God, and don't ever let us go. Lord, Father, we pray for this little baby out in California. Lord, please bless that family. Lord, send somebody there. Lord, if they don't know you, send somebody there, dear God, that administer love and grace to them and mercy. Give them hope, dear God. Father, for our family too. And Lord, I cannot complain, God, at where you have me and where you have my wife and where you have our children and our church, God. I can't complain. Lord, you've got us praying. You've got us reading and looking for answers. And you've got us just, Lord, just everything that happens, Lord, we just turn and pray. And Lord, I just believe, dear God, that you're just training us and you're teaching us, God, things that we need to know. So, Lord, it's okay if you do that because we need it. We just ask God, Lord, I ask God, in every situation, God, Lord, where you've taken me through this same deal, Lord, you've done better than what I was even asking. And Lord, that's what I would like for to happen here, for you to do better than what I was asking. That way I won't get in front of any camera and say, I prayed this through. Because, God, I don't even know what to pray. So, Lord, I'm counting on you to do better than what I asked so you get the glory. Thank you, God, for showing me that so that I can teach it to others. Bless us, and blessed be your word, and blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you, And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.